Amen? Amen. Amen. At this time, we are going to get ready for the word. It's time for the word, and there is a word that I truly believe will bless you and bless your heart. And so if you could turn your Bibles to a familiar text, amen, out of the book of Philippians in the New Testament, the book of Philippians chapter 3, amen. The book of Philippians chapter 3, we're only going to look at just two verses, verses 13 and 14. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. And again, Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have comprehend, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. May the Lord have a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy and inspired word. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask that you would bless right now. Move me, Father God, and let the Spirit of the living God to fall fresh on me. Break me, make me, and mold me. Allow me to proclaim your word with power. And then, Father God, as this word goes forth, Lord, I ask right now in the mighty name of Jesus that you would move in the hearts of your people. Lord, let them know that they can't make it without you, but with you, all things are possible. So as we press forward, Lord, move us in such a way, Lord, that we would be a shining example of who you are and what you are in our lives. And Father God, as this word becomes relevant in the lives of your people, Lord, if there's someone that knows you not, Lord, let them turn their lives over to you. Let them claim the gift of salvation and let them be born again. So Father God, as this word goes, Lord, move like you have never moved before. And do what you said that you was going to do. And that is to save a sinner, strengthen a saint, heal, deliver, and set free. Lord, that is our prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. And let the people of God say amen. So we're looking at a familiar text, which is out of Philippians 3 and 13 and 14. And I would like to tag this text with the subject line, beyond the building, beyond the building. The Apostle Paul was a firm believer in forward progress. In our text, in the book of Philippians, Paul vividly declares and explains that he left the past in the past and pressed forward towards the heavenly goal. And like Paul, we must not focus on failures of our past, nor can we afford to focus on our fears of the future. I know that here we are dealing with 1 year of COVID, and things are not the way we thought that they would be a year ago. But we cannot allow what happened in the year past to dictate the years in the future. We cannot allow fear to permeate in our spirit and manifest itself where we think that all is lost and we're never going to be able to recover, or that we're never going to be able to get beyond where we are at today. We simply must keep pressing forward for Christ. Now to make forward progress. It will require, beloved, two things. As a servant, we must focus on Jesus Christ. And we must do it with focus and faith. First, concerning the matter of focus. If you look at this text in Philippians, you will see Paul says that this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Like Paul, our focus should always be moving forward. We cannot allow the past to dictate our future, so we must always be looking forward to what God is going to do in the lives of his people. Not only should we be a people of focus, but we also should be people of faith. If you look at the writer in Hebrews 11 and 6, it tells us rather emphatically that it is impossible to please God without faith. That should give us some idea of just how important faith is in the Christian life. See, when our faith is shattered because of what our eyes see, if we allow it to dictate through our failures where we are going or how we're going to get through, then where is your faith? And I'm here to let you know that without faith being the object, faith in faith will never accomplish God's work. It's really important for you to understand that just having faith and not allowing it to be applied in action will dictate where we go and how we get beyond the building. So, what is the object of your faith? I don't know about you, but the object of my faith, I can sum it up in one word, and that word is Jesus. The Lord himself warns us, without him, we can do nothing. Without him moving and working in our lives, if we allow him to do what he only has the ability to do, and that is to guide, lead, and direct, we can go further, we can press forward, progress can take place, and our heavenly goals can be met. Therefore, beloved, Jesus must be the focus of our object and the object of our faith. If we are to make forward progress, we got to let God rule in our lives. So with those things in mind, I want to give you some encouragement that if we would follow the blueprint, if we would follow the example of the Apostle Paul, it will ensure forward progress in the lives of his people, and we can get beyond the building in our Christian walk and our ministry. I know I'm right about it, because if we are to make forward progress, Minister Smith, what we have to do is first, we gotta fear not. We are inwardly fashioned for faith and not fear. I need you to catch this, because sometimes we allow the situations and the circumstances of life, we allow it to take us into the fear factor. And God said that when I made you and when I created you and when I breathed into the nostrils of you as a human being, he said, I put something in you, and that is my spirit. So therefore, we should not have fear, but we should continuously and constantly rely on faith. See, I don't know about you, but I live better by faith. I have confidence because of my faith. And I have it more than the fears that the world and people might try to put upon me. My doubts and my anxieties dissipate because my reliance on God is through my faith. A Johns Hopkins University doctor said, "We do not know why it is that worriers die sooner than non-worriers, but it is a definite fact." And I've said this before and I'll say it again. Worrying has never solved your problems. But my reliance and your reliance on God, worrying will dissipate. And I can move differently. I can see clearly. I can be about my business in God because worrying will never affect me because my faith continues to keep me moving forward. But in faith, beloved, I breathe better. And the reason why I breathe better is because of God's presence. Jesus said that he would never leave us nor would he forsake us. If you don't believe me, all you have to do is go back into the Old Testament and look at Moses' life that we was talking about on last Sunday. Moses went and asked God, who should I call upon when I go to the people and talk to them about why I came and why I'm saying the things that I said? So as he was going up to Egypt, he told them to let him know that I am who has sent thee. So, beloved, I need you to understand that if God said it, I believe it, and that should settle it. Because when God is in your life and you are pressing forward because he's guiding you and leading you, you don't have to worry about what situation might be coming from your left or your right. You don't even have to worry about what's in back of you because looking forward is what God wants us to be always concentrating on. The second thing that I want you to see is faint not. See, anybody can quit. I want you to realize that giving up is so easily for us to adhere to, but God said, keep pressing. As a matter of fact, quitting seems to be the rule of thumb for a lot of people, especially when it comes to Christian and church ministry. I don't like how this is going. I don't like how that's going. I don't like the current situation that we're in. I don't like the fact that I can't be present in church. Well, here it is. The church was never about the building. Church is in you. Ministry is in you. Witnessing and being reliable and being a shining example of what God is doing in your life is in you. We should never give up. Oh, no, we should never give up. We should always put our trust in God for strength. And I'm here to let you know that we need to be careful of this mindset of quitting or fainting. It's easy to want to give up when you're tired, when you're weary, when you're worn out or even spent. Never make this life-changing decision in that frame of mind. Because that's where the devil don't need the door wide open. He only needs a crack. And if he can crack the manifestation of what God is trying to do in your life, he can give you the fear and he can give you the anxiety, and you can be the doubting Thomas of your life. And guess what? He says, I won. In Luke 18 and 1, Jesus spoke a parable. And in this parable, he says to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint. In Galatians 6 and 9, he says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if we not faint. And so what I'm here to let you know is that the great riches of God is already laid out before us if we would just stay steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It's now time for us to start recognizing that though we've gone through what we've gone through, and even though we're in the period, Macedonia, of this time of reset, in this time of new beginnings, in this time of with a real God in your life, please stand up. What man might think of us right now, God thinks more highly of us. But we got to keep on pressing. We got to keep on moving forward. We got to keep on allowing God to super rule in our lives. But lastly, we got to get fired up for the Lord. To be on fire for the Lord, it means a commitment. That means we got to be sold out to Him. It means to be more active than you've ever been before. I know you can't do what you used to do a year ago. I know you can't do what you did 5 years ago. And you thought you was very active in your ministry and service. But I'm here to let you know that it's time for us to get more active. Even though we're not in the building, we still can have church. We still can be about our Father's business. We still can do ministry. We can still be a servant of the Lord. We can still be that reliable witness. And we can still be the light of the world. But we gotta not be passive when it comes to God's service. We can't just lay back and let people know that God is not real in our lives because of situations that we have come to our attention. Just because we can't meet and congregate in a building, just because we can't congregate because of the corona, because we can't do the things that we used to do, like annual services and fellowships in person, that doesn't mean that we should be passive in God's service. We got to settle in our hearts who we will follow, because God says in His word that we cannot serve two masters. Matthew 6 and 24 says either you will hate one or you will love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. We are watching and we are waiting, but God is letting us know that it's time to get fired up for the Lord. The world wants to see who we really are and who we represent. And God is trying to let us know that we need to get on fire beyond the building. And I want to be on fire for the Lord. I will fall and allow my heart to do the things and live my life the way God would instruct me to, it's going to be about His will and His way. It will do away with personal agendas. Because sometimes we get in our own way. We don't get in God's way. But sometimes we get in our own way. When people get fired up for the Lord and allow Jesus to be that consuming fire, they won't be so concerned with petty church politics. They won't be concerned with personal power. They won't be concerned with worldly popularity. They won't be preoccupied with themselves because their focus will be on God. They have the faith and go beyond the building because God is working in their lives. You got to catch this. Satan's job is to provide a lot of ways to hinder your growth, but you can't let God do that. I mean, you cannot let Satan do that to you. You got to remember that God is not finished with you yet. I'm so glad that God has not called me to just walk aimlessly, but He's called us to a journey and a goal for which these are the directions that He's leading us on. I don't know where He's taking us. I don't know where He's taking me, but I got faith and I trust in God that He will accomplish all that He laid before me. He has called us to live a life that is full of stumbles and setbacks. But I'm here to let you know that a setback is a setup for a comeback. We will still sin. We can't get over it. We can't get around it because we're still in this flesh. But I'm so glad that sin no longer needs to control our actions. We got to give God the means to give us the help that we so desire, especially when we have to get back up and dust ourselves off and keep moving forward. Oh, what a change. Oh, what a change it would make in this world if we were just forward progress. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ is still pressing. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ is still moving. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ is still on the main line. All we got to do is tell them what we want, because church is not about what we're trying to do, but it's beyond the building. I'm so glad that God is not finished with you and I yet, but we got to go beyond the building. We got to do more. We got to pray more. We got to keep on keeping on in the good Lord's name. The doors of the church are open. I'm here to let you know that Jesus showed us by His example what pressing forward and forward progress is all about. He came down through 42 generations, walked the dusty streets of Jerusalem and Judea. He healed the sick and He raised the dead. He fed 5,000 with a little boy's lunch. He did all of that because of forward progress. I'm so glad that He did what He did, but He wasn't finished because they were ridiculed. He was demonized. And they even tried to falsely accuse Him, but He didn't say a mumbling word. When they came to the Garden of Gethsemane and arrested Him, they took Him from courtroom to courtroom. They thought they were moving forward with some trumped up charges. They thought they were moving with forward progress because they didn't want him to do any more than he was already doing in the ministry that was laid before him. When they took him and they accused him and they charged him, they convicted him and wanted to execute him. That was the crucifixion when he walked up the Golgotha's hill with an old rugged cross. They nailed his hands and they nailed his feet and they lifted him up between two thieves. He died from the sixth to the ninth hour, but that wasn't it. There was still some forward progress. They took him down after he died. Oh yes, he died. They laid him in a borrowed tomb. He was there Friday night. He was there Saturday morning. He was there Saturday night, but early Sunday morning, forward progress took place because he rose on that third day. Aren't you glad that Jesus continued the progress? Now it's our turn to do his will and do his way and be about our Father's business. He already said it, and I believe it, and I'm so glad that forward progress is taking place in the lives of his people. Listen, God is able. He's able to deliver. He's able to heal. He's able to set free. But there has to be something in your life that has to take place. Jesus already did it. Now it's our turn. We don't have to die on the cross. We don't have to minister, you know, all over the world. All we have to do is be about our Father's business and just you make an attempt and make a commitment to forward progress. I don't know about you, but I ain't satisfied with staying in the shape that I'm in. I'm not satisfied with where I'm at. I'm asking God through prayer and his word to tell me, lead me, and guide me in the direction that he would have me to go. So if you have not turned your life over to the care of God, if you not have not accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior, I offer Christ to you right now. All you have to do is pray the prayer of salvation. All you have to do is admit that you are a sinner, because we all are. Ask him for forgiveness. Lord Jesus, I need you. I am a sinner, and I need your forgiveness. Forgive me for all of my sins. And then ask him the question that he has been always offering to each and every one of us. Lord, take over the throne of my life, because I'm opening the door of my life, and take over the throne and make